Podcasting from the Pacific Northwest, this is Haggis Talk,
a podcast inspired by the Scottish Highland Games community, Celtic culture, and annual events sponsored by the Seattle Highland Games Association.
Warm up the bagpipes, get your dancing shoes on.
I come to the right place then.
And don't let the caber throwing scare you.
It's Highland Games time, baby.
Heck yeah! That music says we're underway. Welcome to Haggis Talk, everybody. I'm your host, Brett Lathrop, for this episode. We live in extraordinary times, is the saying, and boy, these are them. We are in the midst of an interrupted year for Celtic festivals and games that have had to be postponed or canceled to pick up the following year at their normal times. But Scots and Celts are resilient peeps and using the technology available. Podcasts like this and virtual games online events are helping to keep the spirit alive. And speaking of spirits, boy, the show theme today is Goddess. Now, I'm no expert, nor do I deserve to represent their story. But have no fear, Haggis Talk listeners, because I brought some reinforcements. Our special guest picked this music out. It's the Merry Sisters of Fate. The song is Lanasa, or Lanasa. She'll probably correct me when we get there. But Linda, great choice. But I'll introduce her in a second. We've got a great crew behind us. And so let me introduce them. We've got, of course, our members, which is El Presidente, Colin Matheson. Now, I don't want cards and letters, people. I get it. El Presidente is Spanish, and he's the chieftain. But calm down, we're very inclusive here. Our Veep, of course, Sandra White. The man with the money, always good to call out the guy with the checkbook, Donald Fick. Our Geek Squad, new member of the crew, Megan Tuffer, doing an awesome job. And trustees, now we have multiple, but Sharon McBride Wrightless is someone I feel like I should pause and say something about. She seems to be involved in everything that's going on, so I figured it'd be good for me before they fire me off this show to mention her name. The website is www.sshga.org. You can find us on Facebook on the Seattle Scottish Highland Games Association, SSHGA. And let me take that Mary down. That was fantastic. All right, partner shouts. We like to give a little quick shout to members of our community that really help us out. And food, as many of you know who have attended the Highland Games, is a big part of that. The smells and all of the wonderful sensory overloads of what you're seeing, hearing, and smelling is fantastic. And so big shouts to Heritage Meat Pies. I'll tell you, with a dollop of haggis on the side, it is good. HeritageMeatPies.com is where you can find them. You can see events on that website on where they'll be. And if you're lucky enough to be in SoCal, in north of LA, north of actually Santa Barbara, in a little town called Santa Maria, the Sun Blessed Food Bakery is there, and you can stop by and smell those awesome pies that are a-cookin'. Okay, we have got a great show for you. And as I said, our theme for this episode is Goddess. So let me introduce my special guest, Linda Stern, trustee of the SSHGA, but more importantly, Goddess aficionado. Linda, welcome.
Well, it's so great to be here, Brett. I want to say tapaliv, which is thanks, in Scott Gaelic, for having me today. So this is going to be such great fun sharing my passion for Celtic goddesses.
Oh, I'm so glad you joined. And we've been kind of talking about this offline a little bit. And I just, every time we talk about it in general, I got excited. So I'm happy you're here. This, you're used to talking to hundreds of people at the festival and things like that. But this, is this your first podcast or have you done this before?
Oh, this is my virgin thing here on podcast-ness. So I'm really excited about doing this.
Fantastic. Well, I'll be gentle. This will be a great experience because I don't want to mess with you. You got goddesses on your side, and I'm not messing with that for sure.
Yeah, watch out.
Okay, let's get into this. So other than being slightly goddess-like yourself, how are you connected to this Celtic goddessness?
Well, I'd like to explain that by telling a little bit about who I am myself, because I feel like who I am is why I'm connected to Celtic goddesses. Is that okay?
Yeah, I love that. Okay, go with that.
So to begin with, I have Scottish heritage on both sides of my family, and Celtic spirituality and goddesses would have been everyday life to all of my ancestors. Also, for many years, I've been an interfaith minister honoring all the paths that lead to the divine, and one of those paths is the divine feminine face of creation, as she shows herself all over the world now and in ages past, and of course, this would include Celtic goddesses. And one more thing that you might find interesting is that I'm an athlete ranked number 8 in the United States in my age group in saber fencing. And I believe I got my fierceness in fencing from being Scott and the warrior goddesses that I'm going to talk about.
Wow.
That's a little bit about me.
That's fantastic. I like the athletics, being a thrower myself. So that's great.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Okay, so I can see that you have an interest in these goddesses, but why might others be interested in them?
Well, I think that's really a great question, especially in the times that we live in now. I found that Celtic goddesses are amazing role models and that their stories can inspire us to embrace a strength or a gift or a wisdom or something found in ourselves that we can make a positive difference in the world, just like the goddesses did. You see, goddesses that I speak about are not weak and flowery. Nope, I can't be bothered. They are strong with the vibrancy and the power of life that takes to birth something here in this reality, in this earth, like an invention or art or a business or a child or a revolution.
I love that. They're often referred to as muses in some instances, right? They're the inspiration by which things get done.
Well, they are, and a lot of the goddesses do become muses for poets. In fact, the first goddess that I'm going to talk about at some point will be just that for poets.
Oh, fantastic. All right. So I'm getting the impression there's some rich stories here. So is there something with this particular time of year, the Highland Games type of season, at least for those of us in the northern part of the country, and goddesses?
Absolutely. So I thought you might be interested in hearing about how a mighty queen goddess started the celebration that led to the Highland Games. And most people don't know about this. Of course, this comes from oral history because Picts and early Celts didn't write. So some of us call this myth or legend, but I'm not so sure it is. For thousands of years, next weekend, August 1st, has been the time of a Celtic celebration known as Lunasa. You know, like the people that did that song.
Oh, yeah, the opening song. Okay, cool.
Yeah, they used that name. Lunasa was a festival celebrated by early Celts to give thanks for our first harvest, which are usually wheat and corn. So Lunasa was named for a Celtic sun god, Lu. But it is, in its heart, about a strong Celtic queen, Talitu. And she was the last queen of Firbolg, who was, at some point, elevated to the status of a goddess. And her story is like this. For her people's survival, she, and she alone, cleared large sections of land for planting, and then she died. On her deathbed, she asked her clan to hold celebrations every year to celebrate the earth's abundance with joy and with gratitude, like we hear at the games. The celebration back then was called the Taliatin Games, after her, Talitu. And the games included much of what you see at our Highland Games, like music and drink, athletic contests, barter, oration of bards, dancing, and the sacrifice of a bull. Just take out the sacrifice of a bull and you have much of the same celebration that was done thousands of years ago. So you can see that this time of the year, the Highland Games and goddesses have a long history. I know that in Scotland, we have always honored First Harvest and Lunasa by making the best single malt whiskey in the world, Scotch. So later, perhaps, tip back a few to the festivals past and present in the Highland Games, to the goddesses that lived then and now in your life, and to celebrate our Earth's abundance with joy and gratitude. So, Solanjava.
Wow. That is awesome. I mean, I've been involved with the Highland Games for years now. I've never heard that particular take on it. I love it. Don't worry about the bull sacrifice. There are a few bulls sacrificed in the beer garden every year, I'm quite certain. So I think that part of it is still well in place. So
I thought about that for a while, and I thought that maybe some of the food vendors might be, you know, doing some of that in the back of their booths. I don't know.
Right. It could be. It could be. Well, I'm now hooked. I hope you listening are. I am fascinated. So tell me a little bit about the system of kind of spirituality that the goddesses are part of, because it obviously has got some spirituality to it for sure.
Sure. I think it's really a good question. And it's good to understand the strength and wisdom of goddesses to know a little bit about their context. So I want to tell just a little teeny bit about Celtic spirituality, which I said before was a part of everyday life for thousands of years. The Celtic spiritual path is related to nature, and it's deeply tied to cycles like the cycle of the earth, the cycle of the year, the cycle of our own lives. Mm. And Celtic spirituality acknowledges that the spiritual world lives both inside of us and outside of us. And it acknowledges that everything is intimately related to everything else in a web of life. All plants and animals and humans and elements and stars and weather patterns and gods and goddesses, everything you can think of, everything that is a part of a larger whole, like a 3D puzzle. It's all connected.
Right. Fantastic. Okay. Well, and that makes perfect sense that it would be based on that very holistic circle of life type concept that, that a lot of the ancient stuff was based on. That's fantastic. Okay. So, what specific role did women play in Celtic spirituality specifically?
Great. Okay. So, Celtic women and goddesses that I will speak about were a part of that spiritual path that I spoke of. Women and goddesses were revered for their strength and intelligence and protecting and healing, and many other reasons, of course. In times past, the ancient Celts felt the source of life in themselves and in plants and animals and gods and goddesses was feminine. And then they saw the relationship between the goddesses and women, and they respected women in their clans. Women led families, they owned and kept their possessions, they held political power, they trained warriors, they led those warriors into battle, they worked as druids and healers and farmers and teachers, and every role you could be, a woman was, including a goddess. And also, in the land of the Celts, sometimes when a woman led a spectacular life, she could be elevated to the status of a goddess, similar to how, in the Catholic Church, they elevate people to the status of a saint. So was Taliatu, who I spoke of, was she a mortal Celtic queen or a Celtic goddess? Or was she both? Was it myth or history? I don't know. I really don't know.
Okay, interesting.
Like stories about goddesses were spoken history and myths and legends because they didn't write. So perhaps the line between a goddess and a female historical figure gets a little blurred, you know? I mean, we rewrite history all the time. But I want to say that whether a woman was a strong, intelligent, fierce mortal or a strong, intelligent, fierce goddess or both, their pluck and intelligence have inspired people for millennia as they now can.
Yeah, I mean, it never goes out of style. It's never not relevant, right? In fact, these days it feels more relevant than ever.
Actually,
you know, that we embrace it, right?
Yeah, I really believe that, because if we would know maybe how our ancestors related to one another and to deities, we might find direction in our lives to, you know, make things a little bit more copacetic between all of us.
Yeah. True that. From your mouth to the goddess's ears, that's for sure.
Yes, I hope she's listening.
Okay, so let's so that's a great primer on all of this. Let's rotate then into specifically talking about some of the goddesses themselves. You've obviously got a lot of knowledge about the Celtic goddesses. That's been well established, everybody. And thank God you're here, because I wouldn't know anything.
Thank God I'm here.
What?
I said, thank goddess I'm here, not thank God I'm here.
That's right. See, there I am with my patriarchal inbreeding that I need to shake. I will try and do better. Let's talk about some of your favorites, right? Which one of the goddesses would be one of the most well-known by the ancient Celts?
Well, you know, whenever I speak about goddesses, it is so difficult to choose which ones to talk about, because they all have such great stories and lessons. So I think what we should do is start with one of the Celts' main goddesses, Brigid.
Okay.
So Brigid is someone who everyone is probably heard of, and it's a really great place to start. She's been a beloved Celtic triple goddess for literally thousands and thousands of years. She is one of the most powerful spiritual figures in Celtic lands. She transcended different tribes and leaders and customs, and she brought unity between warring nations. No matter how different they were, she was the one thing they could agree upon. Brigid's main titles are goddess of healing, inspiration, and smithcraft. Here's the one she was like a muse, but she's so much more than that. Some of the other areas that people would appeal to her for would include bringer of light and spring, bringer of hope, protection, creative arts, healing using fire and water, prophecy, and the list goes on and on. She is one of the main goddesses of Druidry, and she is the protectress of the people and the land. You see, she was like their North Star, and she's been a guide for thousands of years. Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing. When did she have any downtime? She's busy.
Well, that's why she was triple goddess. She didn't have downtime. I mean, seriously. So I thought I would give you an idea of how she came into this world, and I'd tell you the story of her birth that is ignited by fire and praised by water. So a long time ago, a long time ago, at the first crack of a pink dawn, near the waters of a magic well, the goddess Brigid slipped into this world, into the arms of nine swaying and crooning sisters who formed a great circle around her. The waters of the magic well gurgled its joy. Then up rose a column of fire out of Brigid's head that burned to the very heavens, connecting heaven to earth, the above to the below. Brigid then reached up her hands, and she broke away a spiral of fire and threw it to the ground, where it leapt and danced. Then Brigid built a hearth around the fire, stone by stone, piece by piece. She united the above with the below, and the inner worlds with the outer worlds. The nine sisters crooned and hummed and swayed even more around her, while the waters of the magic well started to tremble. From this hearth fire, Brigid reached in both hands, and she drew out a leaping tongue of flame that danced in her hands. And she swallowed it, and it burned straight to her heart. There stood the goddess, fire crowning her head, fire leaping from her heart, and fire dancing from her hands. the goddess Bridget was born. So obviously, Bridget is connected to fire.
Wow. I'm having a vision. It was so well described. I'm hoping she's a redhead and she's available. That's what I'm thinking.
She is. She is a redhead, and she's available if you'd like to. I'll teach you a prayer later on. You can say to her.
Thank you. Yes. Fantastic. I love it.
So let me go on, and I need to tell you a little bit more about Bridget, because as much as that story is great, there is so much more to her. Is that okay?
Yeah. Give us some more.
Okay. So the sacred flame of Bridget is associated with our inner fires of life that spark our creativity and wisdom. And that inner fire can be seen as the energy of creative consciousness that transforms and strengthens us. A transformation that comes from sitting in the fire with our true authentic self, burning away what no longer is needed in our lives to become an evolved version of ourselves. Bridget is teaching us that sometimes we need to feel the fire, to react to the fire, to be changed and charged by the fire into a lioness, into a warrior, into the strength that is needed to put one foot in front of the other, to walk our path of life. Bridget is showing us that fire is light that burns brightly in us and in the dark to show us the way. Yes, sometimes if we get too close to the flames, yes, we're going to get burned, but the courage that it took to jump into that fire of life can change you, can charge you, can transform you into something new and stronger. But Bridget is also connected to water, especially water that rises up from the earth like wells or hot springs, and this is seen as a source of wisdom and healing. So here's a story about Bridget's sacred healing waters. One day, Bridget was sitting at her sacred well, and two lepers appeared and asked her to be healed. "Bathe yourself in my well," said Bridget to the first man. He went to the well, and every place that Bridget's water touched, he was healed. "Now bathe your friend," said Bridget to this man. So this healed man turned and he looked at his friend, but he was repulsed and he backed away and he said, "I can't touch him now." So the goddess said to him, "Then you are not healed." And she took away his healing and gave the man back his leprosy. She then said to the man, "Return to me with compassion, and therein you will find your healing." She then turned to the second man and dipped her own cloak into the sacred waters and placed it around his shoulders. When the sacred waters touched him, he was instantly healed. And he said, "Thank you for the healing waters, Bridget." And he went to the other man and he said, "I forgive you." Bridget's healing waters still attract thousands of people, even now, with hopes of cures. You see, Bridget was a protectress for all, one whom Celtic warriors appealed to for strength needed to fight their battles, both with their swords and their spirits. She was a devoted, steadfast guardian to all who called upon her. With the protective embrace of Bridget's cloak, we can feel safe and supported and guided. So I want to share a Celtic prayer you can say to feel Bridget's cloak of protection and guidance around you. And it means, "O Bridget, spread above my head your bright cloak to guide me." And it goes like this. "Ah, bat brid, she oshmo kion, go vrat fiond komen kal." It's a beautiful prayer. Bridget is the bringer of light after many long months of winter. And she is celebrated on February 1st at Imbolc when she brings back the light and spring. You know, thousands of years ago, it was a battle to survive the winter. So when Bridget brings back the sun, the light, it's no small thing. It's survival. It was life, and the people knew it. She brought them hope and new beginnings every year at that time. The goddess Bridget has been worshipped for thousands and thousands of years. And then around the 5th century AD, there was a mortal woman named Bridget, or renamed Bridget, who led an exceptional life of service to others. After her death, she was venerated and called Saint Bridget. The evolution from the goddess to the saint linked Celtic spirituality and Christian spirituality, with Bridget acting as the bridge. Both the goddess and the saint had the same name. Both the goddess and the saint have the same feast day. Both the goddess and the saint have the same legends and customs. Now, some say that the woman named Bridget took on the goddess Bridget's name and attributes to gather followers to Christianity. I don't know. Who knows? Hmm. But what we do know is that chronologically, Bridget was a goddess thousands of years before there was a Saint Bridget. But there is a location in the world now we call Saint Bridget's Shrine. Many believe that this location was taken over by Christians and that it was an ancient site where priestesses honored the goddess Bridget. At the shrine, there is a sacred flame that's kept burning 24/7. So I wonder, to honor which one? The woman, the saint, the goddess? I say all three. Perhaps the saint and the goddess and the woman are one, just showing herself in a different form when the world needs a different form. So you can look to Bridget for transformation, for hope, for healing using fire or water, for protection, and so much more. Whomever and whatever she calls to you, she can help you become all you are meant to be.
Fantastic. I mean, Linda, Bridget seems to me has a lot of that classical Eastern philosophy on the yin and yang, right? The fire and the water, you know, encompassing obviously both sides of the spectrum, which is, I think, probably why such a powerful example. That's great. All right. Well, we're not stopping there, everybody. We're keeping on rolling. So buckle up because we've just gotten started. Obviously, Celts, the Gaelic traditions, Vikings, Scots, you know, all that kind of tradition has an element of at least in modern popular culture, a warriorness to it, right? They're definitely hard people living in hard climates and things like that. So tell us about warrior goddess.
I love to speak about warrior goddesses. As I say, warrior goddesses inspire me in my fencing. So yes, I would love to tell you about a favorite warrior goddess. I want to tell you about a goddess named Scathach, who inspires me in so many ways. She reminds me that balance is an important part of strength. Scathach was afraid of nothing. And in fact, her name means she who strikes fear in others. The greatest warriors of the land came to Scathach's warrior school on the Isle of Skye in the Hebrides. There she taught the deadly use of weapons, and in balance she taught the art of making love, healing, and the ways of the seer. The ancient Celts knew and honored balance in everything, even being a warrior. Scathach walked with the dead on the battlefield. She accompanied souls who were slain in battle on their death journey. If they led a good life, she would guide them on their Imramana Amin, or journey of the soul, to Tinanuk, the other world. But, so you would want her to accompany you on your Imramana Amin. But she also acted as a judge. When she found a soul who acted poorly in life, she would take them to another island in the other world where no one wanted to be. One where they learned what they had done wrong in life, and then they paid their debts. She also balanced the world of the Celts with her great battle shield. Her battle shield guards the barriers between the land of the dead and the land of the living. One night a year, on Samhain, October 31st, she would lower her battle shield to allow the dead to walk amongst the living, and for the living to honor the dead. Life and death in relationship, respect and balance, not in fear. Some say that Scathach was a mortal woman. She was an important leader, teacher, and warrior. Remember that I said that in Celtic tribes and cultures, women and trained warriors and led them into battle. And if a woman led a spectacular life, she could be elevated to a goddess. So it was that the Tuatha De Danu, the ancient gods and goddesses, transformed Scathach into an inspired mortal, from an inspired mortal woman into a goddess. But whether mortal or goddess, she was and is an inspiration. So look to Scathach for balance and strength to follow your heart to your destiny.
Fantastic. Her name is fantastic, Scathach. You have to kind of roll that at the end. Kind of hard.
It's kind of, it's hard one out there. But it's, it's once you get the roll of it, it's good to call her.
Yeah. Isle of Skye, of course, great whiskey in the Isle of Skye. So she's got a good place she's hanging out for sure. Interesting how, you know, there's also wonderful themes there that you see in other other traditions. You've got that almost Greek-like land of the dead, and it's not necessarily negative. It's just another state, right? It's just a place that you are after life. Similar to Muerte, the Day of the Dead in the Spanish culture, in the way that you were describing that. I thought that's really interesting how those things kind of have similarities, which is fantastic.
Right. You look at a lot of the ancient cultures and there isn't the fear of the death the way there is with our culture. It's more that it's just a continuation of this state of being to another state of being, and then back to this state of being, and then to that state of being,
right?
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Very true. Very true. All right. So how about, can we move on to another one?
Sure, you bet. Let's do it.
Yeah. Okay. So let's move on to, I mean, let's get in right into the heart of it, right? The Highland Games, the Scottish specific kind of modern cultural element that we're kind of celebrating with the games. Let's talk specifically about Scottish goddess.
I'd love to do that. So I would like to say it like this. I, of course, I'd love to talk about a Scottish goddess.
Yes.
So in Scotland, here's another one that's fun to say, Cailleach. In Scotland, the Cailleach is the mother goddess who created the splendor of the mountains and the valleys using her strength and her mighty hammer. And she is also the goddess of winter. She was so powerful that on Samhain, now I mentioned Samhain before, she was so powerful that on Samhain, October the 31st, the Cailleach steals the light and leads us into winter. Now, some think this sounds terrible, but the ancient Celts knew the wisdom of balance and that winter leads us to our internal time, where we can contemplate our life, where we can learn and grow in our body, in our spirit, in our mind. Because the Cailleach controlled the winter weather, farmers had a relationship with her as they depended on keeping the good weather. So they did rituals and that would please her so they could have a longer growing season, which of course is important in the part of the world where seasons are short, like Scotland. So the farmer who had the longest growing season was the family who then watched over the Cailleach that winter, and she would watch over them. The family would provide her with offerings of food and do rituals, and she would protect the family and their animals from the harshness of a Scottish winter. As winter is the season of wisdom, the Cailleach is known for her older wise woman phase of a goddess. In some stories, a young, dashing knight of the realm falls in love with the Cailleach in her older woman presentation, which ironically transforms her to a young maiden. But she knew, as we all know, that wisdom, strength, and beauty inside win out over the transient physical beauty on the outside every time. So the Cailleach reclaimed her state of wisdom as the older goddess, the goddess who created Alba, who contains all the strength for which she and Scotland are known. We can learn from the Kaliach that our true strength lies in being connected to the wisdom inside of us.
That's, I love that. Okay, there's all kinds of things I heard in that. I love that. I love that. That, well, of course, you know, Linda, as you know, older women know what they're doing. So no wonder she took on the young guy and then did what she wanted to do. Everybody right. knows this. Not sharing any mystery. Right. But the, you know, often it's funny because we have these terrible stereotypes, right? We think of gods and often, you know, older men, gods, and then goddess, everybody thinks younger, vibrant women in their youth instead of older. And it's a great balance of the, cause I'm sure all the women, that aren't young anymore are like, hey, I got the goods. Why are y'all worrying about, you know, the young women? They're still learning, right? That's, I love that part.
Well, actually, and that is another look at our cultures, how different that is from back in the day, because honored the wisdom that comes with time, you know, so.
Right, right. I also, of course, associated with her mighty hammer, being a Highland Games athlete. I like throwing the hammer. So I assume she would be pretty good at that. We have some wonderful women throwers these days. Yeah. And so I'm sure she would do some damage both there and in the beer garden later.
I had a talk to her before you throw her hammer, call her name.
That's a great idea. That might give me another foot or two. I'm keeping that to myself. Definitely. That could help me out. Okay. I mean, the only other thing I could think of that made me kind of chuckle is, so there's a, because she's Scottish, there's a very famous Scottish athlete back in the day. His name was Donald Dinney, and he's proclaimed to be the strongest man ever. And he had quite a reputation for being full of himself. And my buddy and I, Jay, often talk about Donald as if he's a ghost who haunts us regularly, telling us about how you guys are nothing. You know, I could have done that with my pinky. And, I have a feeling Donald would have assumed he could beat her, but then she would basically give him a beat down and that would be over. So
there would be no contest. All right. He showed that he can make mountains and valleys, then we'll listen to him. Not now.
Right, 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 right. Okay. So now, I've heard, although it's not a huge stretch, but I've heard there's goddess of passion, which I think people are going to be excited about. Now, everybody, calm down. This is your Barry White section of the podcast, right? Things, some baby making might happen. Just be careful, right? But goddess of passion, tell us about her.
It could be, yeah. So I'd love to tell you about this goddess. This goddess is one of my favorites. She's a powerful and lusty warrior goddess, and her name is Maeve. So Maeve is a Celtic goddess of power and the power of passion and love and war, and she is the goddess of sovereignty of the land. She is definitely light and dark fused together. Maeve ran faster than horses. She slept with countless kings whom she discarded, and she wore birds and animals across her shoulders. If there ever was a woman named Maeve who reigned as queen, she was a mortal bearing her name. And it was said that the kings of Ireland married this goddess when they took their place of power, and she would bestow her gift of sovereignty upon them so they can claim the land. So Maeve was a great warrior and leader and conqueror, famous for her beauty and her sexual power. It was said that she had many, 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 many lovers. Some were enslaved men, spoils of war, but most were officers in her army. If they fought courageously on the battlefield, they might be rewarded with Maeve's willing thighs.
Yeah, baby.
Maybe. I mean, if they were lucky and they worked for it. Regardless of their origin, they were there to pleasure her appetite. An appetite, some say, demanded 30 men a day. Passion Ooh. On the battlefield and off. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how she'd have time to go to battle. I don't understand that.
Right.
So just to remind you, in Celtic nations, women's rights equaled those of men. They owned property and they occupied powerful positions. And whomever brought more wealth and property into a marriage was considered the ruler of that household, be it man or woman, god or goddess. And this is an important part of Maeve's story of power and passion. Her story is one that is masked in time. And some say it's about the goddess Maeve. And some say it's about immortal Queen Maeve. Regardless, her story is the same, and so are the lessons. Maeve held the power of the land as she was the High Queen of Sovereignty. She had many consorts, but the one she favored most was named Al'il. One morning, after Maeve and Al'il lay in bed basking in the afterglow of lovemaking, he began taunting her, claiming that she was fortunate to be with him because of the wealth and power he brought to the partnership.
Uh-oh, that's a wrong move right there, boy.
A real wrong move. A real wrong move. Well, Maeve laughed, and she said, I possess more wealth and power without you. You are only my kept man, as are many. Well, the quarrel escalated from that as they began comparing their wealth and their asset and their influence, matching one another until Maeve discovered that her consort owned a bull of superior breeding, better than the one she owned, making him technically the ruler of the household. Well, this was unacceptable to the proud warrior goddess queen, so she found a bull of better quality that was owned, unfortunately, by someone else, the king and queen of Ulster. When they refused to sell the bull, Maeve made a plan to take her army and invade their lands and just take it. It was said that Maeve could outrun the swiftest horse and that she rode at the head of her battalions, and her presence and power made the army invincible. So in this particular clash, Maeve rode into battle in her open chariot, naked, and stunningly beautiful at the head of her army. She was so gorgeous that the enemy fell down in a frenzy of desire just by looking at her. She won the battle without losing one of her warriors and was able to claim the famed bull. But when Maeve and her consort's bulls were penned together, they killed each other. The household now had equal wealth, but never would have equal power. So instead of living in the shadow of Maeve's presence and power, Al'il left. Thus ended the competition for household ruler. Maeve won, but at what expense? When does being right or first justify all actions? When are the consequences too high a price to pay? Maeve is a goddess who is equally associated with the passion in love and the passion in war, and light and dark fuse together. She is the intoxicating power of passion, the passion we feel in love and desire and sex, as well as anger and battle. Two sides of one coin, some say. And sometimes that's a thin line between those states of being. If we lose control of our passion or are not mindful or honorable, we can easily cross a line that can't be taken back. The goddess Maeve teaches us to be mindful in our actions and to harness our passions. Maeve is a confident and strong warrior goddess lover who tells us to be a warrior in our own life, but not at the expense of all.
Fantastic. I mean, just so relevant, right? That wonderful, well, I mean, it's at the heart of human nature and everything that story brings to light, as well as the, you know, that fine line of of righteousness and that ability to take passions and not allow them to consume you to an end that becomes negative over time. So I love that.
Yeah, that's a hard one.
It is, but an amazing one nonetheless. Fantastic. All right, everybody calm down. Get your cigarette out. Take a break, a piece of chocolate, whatever you need to do to compose yourself after that, because it's hard in the face of the goddess of passion to control yourself, as the stories say. All right, well, we're getting to the end of our time here, but I think we've got room for one more, Linda. Let's finish off with in light of that last one, goddess of healing that we can connect to if we need some help, right? Especially these times, there's a lot of uncertainty. People feel both physically or emotionally kind of drained because of all the things going on. It's just an odd time, right? So let's talk a little bit about that, and then we'll wrap up.
Okay, sounds good. So the goddess that I'd like to speak to you about, her name is Arumid, and we can connect to her for healing. She came from a family of healers. Her father was the chief god of medicine, and her brother was a skilled surgeon. She was a gifted healer who listened to the voices of nature and shared her wisdom and knowledge with the world. One of the stories about her wisdom and belief in herself is this. In a fierce battle, one of her king's arms was severed. Her father, the god of medicine, wanted to replace it with an arm made of silver, but Arumid knew this was a bad plan. So instead, Arumid used her powers of healing and regenerated his own arm. The king was extremely grateful because he knew that the Tuatha De Danu, the ancient gods and goddesses, would not allow him to be king if his body wasn't completely whole. So Arumid's belief in herself and her willpower to stand up to her father saved their kingdom. And this is something that we need to believe, to listen to in ourselves, to believe in ourselves, to know where we need to go for our healing. But Arumid is most remembered for the following story about wisdom and sharing the healing ways of herbs. As with most stories of the Celtic people and goddesses, the story is bittersweet, because while receiving a valuable gift, something precious was taken away. One day, Arumid was told that her beloved brother was killed. Some say it was her mean-spirited father. Some say it was in battle. In Arumid's grief, she would frequently visit his grave. She would lay on the ground where her brother was buried and cry for days on end, watering the ground with her tears. One day, when she arrived at the grave, she was surprised to find healing herbs growing on the burial mound. 365 herbs, to be exact, one for every joint, organ, and part of the body, and one for every day of the year. Watered by her tears of love and sorrow, all the healing herbs of the world had sprung up. So Arumid began to gather all these herbs in her cloak, and quite amazingly, the herbs began to speak to her, whispering in her ear, telling her their story, singing their song, so she would know their purposes. She was amazed that she could understand the language of the plants. So Arumid separated and arranged the herbs on her cloak, and according to the knowledge they shared, she did just that. But once again, her mean-spirited father tried to stop her. He followed her to the grave and he watched her. He did not want the knowledge that the herbs taught her to be shared with mortals, or even her, for that matter. So he raged onto the sacred ground. He scattered all the herbs to confuse Arumid. But to her father's dismay, all the knowledge and healing Arumid learned from the herbs was deep within her, and he could not take that away. So she continued to share her wisdom with all those who asked forever in a day, for our knowledge is to be shared. Arumid teaches us that wisdom and knowledge is to be shared, not hidden, and to believe in ourselves and do what we know is right, even if the darkness that opposes you is someone powerful or someone you thought loved you. Ah, Rumi's principles lead us to help our world, and we all need to do that now with our strengths and gifts, even in the face of adversity. So these amazing goddesses had pluck and ill intelligence and strength, and they can inspire us even today. You see, I believe that we all have the strength in us, the goddess strength in us, to do great works in our own time. So may you gather strength from the stories that precede you, and may you use your own strengths now to share your gifts with the world, to do great things, and then to go out and inspire others.
Fantastic, Linda. I love that.
Thank you.
That was so fun. Unfortunately, the music says that it's about our time to get off to the next plane of existence. You got a Gaelic blessing for us of some kind that you'd like to finish off with before I close?
I'd love to do that because this is something that I think that resonate with anybody. So may the blessing of light be on you. Light from within and light from without. May the blessed sunlight shine on you like a great deep fire, so that stranger and friend alike may come and be warmed by you. May the light shine out of two eyes of you like a candle set in the window of a home, bidding the wanderer come in, out of the storm. And may the blessing of rain be on you. And may it rain upon your spirit and wash it fair and clean, making a shining pool where the blue of heaven is reflected, and sometimes a star. Hallelujah.
Ah, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Well, I enjoyed that time together thoroughly. Thank you so much for joining me. You've got to come back. I'm sure there's more goddesses to talk about, I'm certain.
So many.
Oh, so good. Awesome. Well, hey, everybody, thanks for listening because that's the show. Thanks again to our sponsor, the Heritage Meat Pies. And of course, the Haggis Talk podcast comes out whenever we dang well please. Questions or comments, you can email us at scottsforever@ssHGA.org or Facebook SSHGA. That's the Seattle Highland Games Association. And until next time, may your flask always be full, your kilt stay dry, your prose be as silky smooth as Robbie Burns, and your haggis be warm, reeking, and rich. Sláinte mór, good health, everybody. We out.
Thanks for listening to Haggis Talk with your whiskey and haggis-wielding, lovable Celtic hosts.
Check out www.sshga.org for more episodes and information about Scottish Highland Games.
Boy, are haggis hard to catch.
Until next time,
Sláinte mór.
Good health.